Welcome to the podcast. We've been back after a we're back after a long break. With me is Rabbi Shimon Felix and Mitchell Barak. Rabbi Shimon Felix is the executive emeritus director of the Bronfman Youth Fellowship. He received his rabbinic ordination from Yeshivat HaMiftar, where he served as educational director. He has worked in a wide variety of educational programs, including Michael Berea, the Israeli school system, and Yakar. He headed the Jewish Agency's Bureau for Cultural Services to Communities and also served as assistant to the former chief rabbi of Great Britain, Dr. Jonathan Sachs. He is currently the director of BRIL, an Israeli travel company. Mitchell Barak has been called one of Israel's savviest pollsters by the Washington Times. His opinions and surveys are regularly quoted in the leading publications like the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, BBC, Al Jazeera, and many others. He's held a variety of important positions with the Israeli government. He was the international media advisor and spokesman for Israeli President Shimon Peres. Previously, he served as speechwriter and communications assistant for Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and was advisor to Finance Ministers Yaakov Ne'aman and Dan Meridor. Additionally, he worked as an aide to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the foreign ministry and also served in the Prime Minister's office during the tenure of Yitzhak Shamir. Recently, we had elections here in Israel, which didn't quite dwarf in importance the midterm elections, which just happened yesterday in the United States. And one of the surprising results, and perhaps optimistic results in the elections, which we had recently, was the election of Dr. Eliza Bloch to be the mayor of Beit Shemesh, in a city which the majority of its residents are Haredi, ultra-Orthodox, and has also a nationalist religious population and a secular population. Mitch, what contributed to her victory, which came as somewhat of a surprise, and do you think that this is why do you think that this is a particularly important event in Israeli politics?
Well, I think what she had going for her, first of all, was she was able to unify a lot of different people. Both secular Israelis who live in Beit Shemesh and national religious Israelis, and she actually got some secret support from some of the ultra-Orthodox, from some of the Haredi elements in Beit Shemesh, and that was a unique moment because it turns out that a lot of them feel, a lot of, among the ultra-Orthodox, that even though Mayor Abutbul is ultra-Orthodox, he's just not cleaning up the garbage and he's just not providing services to the citizens there. So some of them openly broke with the ranks of the rabbis and said, enough. We don't have to put people in that are incompetent or that are not doing their jobs if they're not going to provide services to the citizens. So that was a unique thing of how she was able to do it. And I think we also learned from it that every single vote counts because it was the absentee ballots, of which there's really no absentee ballots in Israel. It's only soldiers who were out in the fields, handicapped people, and for the first time in municipal elections, prisoners are able to vote. All those people, a lot of them voted for her, which was interesting because Abutbul represented a party that was harassing, or some of his followers were harassing soldiers in Beit Shemesh among the ultra-Orthodox. What I do think it means is we're in a new era now, and the new era is that, you know, not everyone is going to listen to the ultra-Orthodox rabbis, and you're going to have to provide services for the city. It's not just a war against, you know, them and us, it's everyone.
Okay. Shimon, one of the things that impressed me about the importance of this election is the sort of after-exit polling interviews, as it were, of the Haredi residents, and they were asked how they could vote for Eliza Bloch against the recommendation of the rabbis. And they all said some variation of the same thing. This is not something we have to go and ask the rabbis about. This is like asking someone who should be on our building committee in our apartment, asking for recommendation as to an electrician, something of that nature. In effect, they negated the whole concept of Da Torah, and they said, this is not, we listen to our rabbis, but when it comes to elections and who can clean up the garbage, we don't have to follow our rabbis. How important was that, do you think, going forward in Israeli politics, that idea?
Crucial. As your question said, and as Mitch said, it's a big deal. One of, to my mind, the most problematic aspects of Haredi life is the assumed fealty and loyalty to Das Torah, that whoever the rabbi happens to be, whoever the Rebbe happens to be, his word is God's word. This is not the Jewish way. There are a lot of different Jewish ways typically. This one is not one of them. And I think it's fabulous that some Haredim is showing some spunk, some gumption, some common sense, and some practical issues, but that's it, perhaps precisely where the Das Torah concept makes the least sense, because it can rob people of their own volition, their own will, their own agency in very basic things. And some of the more Hasidic groups, it gets grotesque, to be frank, where the group, the Rebbe, really gets into the kishkes of people's personal lives and how they live with their spouses and how they raise their children. And it can get, unfortunately, very unhealthy. So I think it's fabulous that there are elements of the... I don't want to overstate the case. I don't think it's a revolution. It's a little, a small little revolution, but hopefully everyone's... Sociologists have been waiting for decades for the Haredim to, wise up and get with it and for the financial support to dry up, and it hasn't happened. So this might be a little bit of a sign that there are chinks in the armor of the Haredi position.
Okay, Mitchell, as a pollster, do you think you take this as a one-off, that there were unique conditions in Beit Shemesh, the mayor was so bad, he was recognized to be bad, the situation was bad, Eliza Bloch had people working with her that were willing to work with her in that situation in the Haredi camp. She apparently got between 3,000 and 4,000 Haredi votes in addition to the absentee soldiers. Is this like a one-off deal and we shouldn't expect it to happen in the future in Israeli society, or are you somewhat optimistic that it could be replicated in other places?
Well, I would say yes and no, meaning both. It is a one-off in that to a certain extent, each group, and Israel is a very tribal place, and groups will continue to support their incompetent candidates and their incompetent leaders, because that's the way of life, that's what they're used to. Everyone wants to protect their interests. Well, I mean, we're going through a mayoral race right now in Jerusalem, and we're lining up, everyone is lining up as to who's going to be the mayor, who's going to protect the interests. Competence, relevance, experience, it doesn't always go there. It's what happens there. On the other hand, I think it will affect people moving forward, because it galvanizes those forces who say, we can affect a change. We need to work together and affect a change. And that's a critical victory for them. Meaning, even if they had lost by a few votes, and I think in the last elections they lost by, not a lot, and even in Jerusalem, the last election was not decided by a lot of votes, but people are galvanized and they will come out and vote and they will participate more, which is good for everyone. It's important for people to realize that their vote makes a difference, and that if they get together and work on a certain level together for the good of the citizens, that they will have an effect.